Hello, and welcome back to the Worst Sister Shire podcast. We're three sisters who decided to start up a podcast to talk about our favourite TV shows and movies. This week we'll be covering Shadewood, Season 4, Episode 16, and this episode is called Close Encounters. In this episode, all of the girls are sort of doing their own thing. Spencer's getting involved with Toby's case with Radley. Arya's solidifying her relationship with Ezra. Hannah is going through a breakup, and Emily is interacting more with Allie. Before we get into this week's episode, I want to remind everyone that we have a motto, and that motto is, if attempted murder is a crime, then attempted comedy is a podcast. Say hi, guys.
Hi, I'm Suna.
Hi, I'm Sadie.
I'm Arjazum, and we are the Worst Sisters. Cool. So let's kick into it. Who are we starting with?
Actually, before we go into it, can we do a little bit of a context?
Yeah.
They've basically tracked down Allie to where they think she was staying at the Busy Bee.
Yeah.
They get there. They find somebody had, it looked like somebody had been like camping out there, and they think Allie might have been staying there. But they get there. There's a big A sign on the door, back of the door, saying you're too late. And then the girls go back to, I think, Hannah's house. They're back somewhere and they're having a chat. They're debating about, was Allie even actually there? Did she set it up? Did A set it up? Basically, they don't even know if they can trust Allie at this stage. They don't know who A is. They're just lost. Yeah, all of this stuff is happening kind of in the background of that.
That's good context.
So Arya's is probably the one that has the least to do with that central drama. She's just having trouble picking between two boys.
Yeah, and it's real annoying because it's like, obviously, which boy you should pick. Like, the one that's not your teacher.
Yeah, obviously yeah. Jake is hotter.
But, like, Jake's not going to give her an A+ on her essay, is he? So
yeah, I feel like that is not enough of a plot device in this show where people are not accusing her enough of sleeping her way to her grades.
Yeah, but like we know she's a genius, right?
But if this was real life, that would 100% be happening.
Yeah, that's true. So Arya's been hanging out with Ezra, and it hasn't been that bad because like what can you do? Jake's in a different state. Like she can't be with him if he's somewhere else.
Exactly.
And you can't stay single.
And you can't stay single. Like, you must have a spare boyfriend. So what's a girl to do? So she didn't have any problems until today. Today's the day that Arya's going to see Jake for the first time. He's back now. So she has to make a choice between these two dudes. And she was having breakfast with Ezra, I guess.
Yeah.
And she gets a text message from Jake, and he's like, can't wait to see you today. And Ezra is such an asshole.
I know.
Like, first of all, you knew she was in a relationship when you, like, hunted her down, took her to your little cabin, told her that this can be your secret place. And now you're like, oh, it's morning with me, afternoon with him. I see.
Yeah, I know. Imagine being so angry with your 16-year-old girlfriend.
Is she 16? Like, we've been watching the show for 4 years. Is she still 16?
Well, I think she's meant to be, like, 17 maybe because
yeah, I think she's 17.
The context of Hannah and Caleb's relationship and Hannah leaving that voicemail to say it was the best year of her life, only a year has passed since they've gotten together.
Which was, what, season one?
This is showing the timelines, well, bro.
Let's count, though. How many Halloweens has there been?
Well, there's been at least two Halloweens.
There wasn't a third Halloween yet, is there?
I don't think so. So there was Ghost Train. We definitely did that. And then there was the one where you have the flashbacks, the original Halloween episode.
And Halloween episode where we met girl Caleb.
Was that Halloween?
Was that not a Halloween episode?
I thought it was just a mid-season finale.
It had a Halloween start, didn't it? Let me quickly look this up. So you're telling me that town has that creepy thing when it's not Halloween too?
I think so. Because also by that logic, it should have been fall at least one more time. And weren't they applying for colleges last year to start in the fall?
Yeah, I guess so. It's been at least 2 years, though.
Yeah, it's been at least 2 years, but in Pretty Little Liars timelines, it's 1 year.
No, so according to Reddit, season 4, episode 13, Ravenswood is a Halloween episode.
Okay, so there's been three Halloweens. It's been
the season one Halloween was pretty close to the start of season one. So let's just say it's been 2 years. Because it started when school starts, which is, what, September?
Yeah.
And Halloween's in October. So we won't count that as 1 year. We'll count that as, you know.
We'll count it as 2 years and 2 months.
2 years and 2 months. Yeah, so this was somehow the best year of her life in 2 years.
Yeah, correct. Only one of the years was good.
Yeah, it's giving Mike Wazowski vibes. Kindergarten, the best 3 years of my life.
I know, literally. Anyway, so Arya says basically to Ezra, she's like, don't you worry, babe. Like, you have nothing to worry about. I picked you because I love you. I'm going to go break up with Jake anyway. Yeah. And she goes to do just that. She goes to break up with Jake, and he immediately, like, already knows what's going on. He's like, do you want to go to lunch? And she says yes, and then she's like, no.
Yeah.
It was so weird and so unnecessarily awkward, and I just feel like she went into that conversation to break up with him in a really weird way, because you've already spent the last, like, 2-3 weeks, however long, lying to him about how much you miss him and how much you can't wait to see him, blah, yeah, blah, blah.
Including the start of that very conversation where he started off with, hey, I missed you. She's like, I missed you too.
And then they kiss.
And then she's like, yeah, but I didn't miss you that much though. Like, go away.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I feel like she lied enough as it is, and now she's come into this conversation in a really weird way and giving him mixed signals all the way to the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but he's not dumb. He's figured out what's happening. And the other interesting thing that comes out of that scene is that we see his punching bag that he uses for working out. That is,
he's like, oh, it's my lucky punching bag. I've had it since I was 15. How long ago was that? Like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
How old is this guy?
I don't know. It could be 3 years. Could be 20. I don't know.
Mystery.
He is so much more better looking than Ezra. So much more, like, age appropriate. Even if it's not age appropriate per se, like, we don't know how old he is, but, like, more appropriate on an entire level.
Do you have a crush on Jake? You've brought out how much hotter he is than Ezra, like, 4 times so far.
It's right there. It's right there.
Is that a yes? Is this your new Toby?
Don't be ridiculous. He's not ginger.
True.
But, yeah, so she decides to break up with him. That's the end of that scene for then. But then what happens is Jake sees Ezra yelling at a blonde lady. So there's, like, a blonde lady sitting in a car. Jake's, like, just walking in the streets, and he sees Ezra yelling at a blonde lady. And also, this was just, like, just outside of the brew. And Ezra had told Arya that he was off in Philly seeing his mate or something. I like how his lie was, like, so intense that he was even like, oh, no, it wasn't that guy. It was this other guy.
Yeah, I know. And also, like we said, doesn't go to Philly, ends up yelling at some blonde, and Jake sees it. Jake tells Arya about this, and Arya asks him, oh, how was Philly? And Ezra continues to lie and say, oh, yeah, it was good, caught the last train, almost missed it, blah, 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 whatever.
Yes.
Like, so much unnecessary detail for his lie. And then Arya's like, well, did you even go? Because Jake saw you at the grill, so.
Yeah.
And Ezra just kind of brushes this off. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I lied because I went and saw Maggie's lawyer because I still want to keep my non-son in my life because I care about him. Because I met him for 3 months. And then Arya's like, if we want this to work, we need to be honest with each other, even though she's been lying to him as well and saying, like, oh, I've just been dealing with Hannah and her breakup, like, at the beginning of this episode.
Ezra's telling Arya that he wants to be in Malcolm's life, but why? He's got literally no rights apart from being, like, a friend. Yeah. You can care about someone without fighting for visitation rights. If she doesn't want to let you see her kid, she doesn't have to.
The thing that annoyed me about this scene was his reasoning for lying. Because he was like, oh, I didn't want to tell you because having Malcolm in my life has ruined us before, and I didn't want it to ruin us again when we just got back together, basically. And it's like, well, what did you think was going to happen if you kept pursuing this? Like, it doesn't make sense. Either don't chase Arya and you go after Malcolm, or you do it the other way around. But you can't have both, as you've just said. So what's the point in going around trying to make Arya date you again, and then you're also chasing Malcolm, but then trying to keep it a secret from her so it doesn't ruin you?
Make it agree.
And then there's no real resolution to this in this episode. They kind of have that conversation, and then at the end of the episode, they're just eating cake like nothing happened, and they're, like, so happy.
With no forks while they're sitting in a fully furnished apartment.
They're a mess, these two. Like, they just can't get stripped together.
And also, Arya's back to season one, lying to everyone she knows about who she's seeing.
I know. She loves the drama, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, we leave Arya's storyline with Jake going to do his kickboxing thing, whatever he does, kicking and punching the bag. And his bag has been filled with knives.
I know.
I know.
What?
Okay. But first, before we see that, we see Ezra coming back from grabbing a pizza. It just looks dodgy. You think that it's making you think that Ezra's the one that done it. And you know what? I'm with them.
Okay, but who else would care about Jake anyway? Like, let's say it wasn't Ezra. Who else is it? Who gives a shit about Jake? But yeah, that's about all for Arya this episode.
It's about too much for Arya, is all I can say.
Too much for Arya.
Who's next? Do we want to do Hannah?
Yeah, let's do Hannah.
So Hannah's obviously going through her breakup, very sad. So she's giving away like half her wardrobe, including Caleb's favorite things, like the skirt that he liked the most on her and things like that.
I don't know. Was it just me or is it weird for your boyfriend to have a favorite article of clothing of yours?
Yeah, I think it's weird.
Yeah, I think like just to put it into context though, they're just 17 and dumb, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Still, I just find it weird.
I can see, like, a cringy 17-year-old being like, that's my favourite skirt on you.
So dumb.
So he's getting rid of your wardrobe because you once wore it in the presence of Caleb.
I know, that's the other thing. Like, okay, just go naked then. Oh, but she did that in his presence too, so now she's screwed.
Literally. So, like, I understand wanting to get rid of, like, mementos, like Valentine's Day cards, things like that. Like, you don't want to keep around photos, but, like, your clothes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I don't remember when I wore what. Like,
and I like Ashley's comment here because Hannah goes, what, haven't you ever seen anyone clean their cupboard? And she's like, not in this house.
Yeah.
But yeah, so going back to what Snow was saying, like the last episode, make sure you always have a backup boyfriend. So you don't want to be single or alone for more than 3 seconds at a time.
You know what I really loved about this episode is how the writers like really jumped in circles to try and figure out how they didn't have to make another set so that they could get Hannah to play pool table somewhere.
I know.
So we are thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So she now has a convenient hallway pool table because obviously she has to play pool with Travis somewhere, and like building another set is just not in, you know, it's just not
in the budget. It's like,
it's not in the budget. What a waste.
Mid-season, they've already spent all their money. Like.
Yeah. So apparently Hannah's basement is now flooded. And the hallway is now the pool table area.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like how they have that typical rom-com kind of a scene where the guy's teaching the girl how to do a sport because, you know, he's so sporty and she's just such a femme.
Yeah, of course.
But like Travis's incredible pool advice is basically he gets up behind her all smooth, like slow, sensual. And then his advice is literally this: get the angle you want and then take the shot. Oh, really, Travis? That is such genius advice. Thank you for draping yourself over her to say that.
Can I just say, if you have a pool table in your house, whether it's in your flooded basement or in your hallway activity area, you would think she would know at least how to play the basics.
Well, no, she explained that away as well by saying, yeah, my dad left it here when he left us all, but I never really played it.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Suna, when I saw you recently, like in September, you also showed me how to play pool, but you didn't drape yourself over me. Why?
Yeah, I know.
Not only did you not drape yourself over me, but you also didn't give me that advice, and that's why I lost.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember who won pool, but I know I annihilated everyone when we played foosball.
Foosball, yeah.
Yeah.
You and Kirk won pool.
Okay. That was all no thanks to me, I take it, though.
Yeah, it was also no thanks to me that we lost. I remember
this one. It was also no thanks to Kirk.
Or thanks to Luke.
It was just what happened after so long of just trying to get balls in.
But foosball was so bad. Like, I cannot comprehend how terrible I was at foosball. I was just screaming. And so it's just like, shot. Yeah. I've played once or twice. Bam.
Yeah. One of my first jobs, we had a pool, foosball table in the kitchen. So I got a lot of practice. I used to play every lunchtime for like a year.
That's not what you said. You said I played a couple times.
You're hustling you and you fell for it.
But I played every lunchtime for a year. Like, 10 years ago.
It's muscle memory. Don't lie to me. I'm pretty sure your eyes were closed half of that game.
Anyway, so back to Hannah. So when they were playing pool, they have, guess what? Another accidental kiss, guys.
Whoops.
How many times can these girls do this? Oh, my God.
Can I just say, I hated the scene because Hannah's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Of course you don't like me like that. Like, okay, Hannah, way to be a pick-me girl right now.
I know. And also then they had that conversation of like, he goes, oh, you know, you just got out of a bad breakup. Let's not move too quick. Like, I don't want to do this. And then next thing, they're like full on making out.
And then Ashley walks in and is like, Travis, you have lipstick on your neck.
I know. And do you know what else I liked about this? So when we cut and they're like full on making out, there's like this music playing, whatever. And it turns out it wasn't the soundtrack to the show. It was Hannah's iPod playing.
I know.
They put on mood music for this.
Yeah, they did, to make out.
And then the other thing I liked is that when Ashley did come in and was like, what are you doing? Kind of a thing. Hannah tried to say that, oh, me and Travis are just friends. But then Ashley's like, oh, you kiss all your friends like that?
I know.
Yes.
After this, Ashley decides she needs to help Hannah get some of her anger out, and she takes her to a plate-smashing place.
I want to go there.
Yeah, I also want to go there.
I don't know why. We do this in our kitchens every day.
No.
Yes, but I want to do it on purpose.
And not have to clean it up.
Also, it was like $2 for 3 plates. I'd rather go to the dollar store, buy a whole lot of dollar store plates, and then just go smash them myself.
Yeah, but then you have to clean it up yourself too.
If you smash it in a field.
You can't you still just have to clean that up.
Oil is fine as long as I spill it in the ocean.
Exactly. I will drown the turtle personally.
I know.
Okay, what if you think about it? The ocean is just like a giant filter anyway, you guys.
It's a filter. Huh?
It's a saltwater pool that cleans itself.
I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works, mate.
Really?
Yeah. All of the trash in the ocean will prove me correct.
I know. Also, if you guys see any trash in Sadie's fields, you know what's happening.
Yeah. She wanted to save a dollar on plates.
I know.
Yeah, and then the last thing that we see for Hannah is basically the Caleb voicemail thing that somebody alluded to earlier, where she says she calls him and she's like, you know, it was the best year of my life.
I know, and it's like, but you've only had 15 of them, so.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was going to say. So I've got two problems on top of what we've already said with this. One is like, best year so far. Like, you're still in school, mate. Like, you haven't lived even a quarter of your life yet. Like,
you haven't paid your own bills yet.
You haven't paid your own bills yet. Like, your life's barely started yet. It was the best year of your life so far. And second of all, why was this the best year of your life? You were literally being stalked and almost died.
I know. You got hit by a car.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that doesn't sound like a great year to me.
But it was to her because she had Caleb by her side.
And she got to slap a blind girl.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Girls were bogans. What would their nicknames be?
I feel like you have some suggestions.
Yeah, I think Hannah would be called Hazza.
Yeah, probably Hazza.
Yeah, Hazza. Hazza, Spazza, Azza.
You laugh, that's probably it. And Emily's known as Atla. She'd be Emma or something.
Yeah, she'd be Ezza.
She'd be Ezza.
Does that make you Sazza and you Suzza?
Yeah. And you Azza.
Azza. That's not even far off from what white people call me.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Maybe they think you're a bogan.
Maybe. Well, I am, but
maybe they think it.
Yeah.
Spencer's sitting at Toby's house in nothing but Toby's t-shirt, and there's a knock on the door. She goes and opens the door, and she's so hopeful, right, because it's her dad. Her dad's at the door. And she's hopeful that her dad's, like, come to find her because she ran away from home the last episode.
Yeah.
And she's like, how did you know I'd be here? And he's like, I didn't. I came here for Toby. And
you were meant to be at Hannah's.
Yeah. Like, you can just see her deflate. They start to talking amongst themselves, and she tells her to go back home, basically. What's funny for me in this scene is that Toby comes down the stairs in nothing but a towel, and he's like, Spencer, I fixed the hot water.
And then my favorite line so far, looking at what's his face? Peter going to
Toby,
put some pants on. We need to talk about Radley.
I know. Can I just say this isn't the first time that Toby has come running out of, you know, a shower, just wet in a towel in front of one of her parents, and it's been awkward. Like, we get it, Toby. You have abs. Get a life.
I know. They got to get their money's worth for those abs.
I know. Now that Jason's at rehab, someone has to be shirtless.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, so that was a funny part of the scene. But the serious part of the scene was her dad, Spencer's dad, actually like opens up about why he was with Jessica De Laurentiis a couple of days ago. And he tells Spencer that Jason's back in rehab. He picked a fight in a bar and is like getting sent to jail, basically. And he didn't want anyone to know. So they're respecting his wishes and they're trying to help him through this difficult situation.
Yeah. So what this says to me, though, is Peter actually taking on some parental responsibility?
No.
Because it didn't seem that way the last few seasons when they didn't even know he was the father.
No.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, it's his way of making sure he has less parental responsibility.
Yeah. But the reason that Peter comes to talk to Toby is to talk about Radley. So as we remember in the last episode, Peter was all gung-ho for like, oh, Spencer, you're a dumbass. Like, if you were actually a genius, you would have like got more – you would have actually got Radley shut down instead of just getting your boyfriend some money.
If you were a lawyer instead of a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, instead of just getting them to admit, like, you would have actually done something good. But now he comes over and he's like to Toby, actually, like, they've offered you some money because, like, even though it's not their fault, they're not accepting liability, it happened on their ground, so they just want to give you a little bit of money for no reason whatsoever. He's like, all you have to do is just sign this deal saying that you're never going to talk about it again. You'll have something nice to help you for your future. Toby's like ready to sign this deal. Toby's dad is ready to sign this deal. I have a few issues with that, which is like, why do they need Toby to sign anything?
Underage? So that's what I've got in my notes as well. Why do they need an underage person to sign?
Like, can you even legally sign that? I don't know. You need your parents' permission to be able to sign something like that, I feel like.
And one of them's dead.
And one of them's dead. And you can't talk about her.
Well, I thought Toby was meant to be a bit older because wasn't he like he finished his GED and that's why he also moved out and stuff like that?
I don't know, did he? Aren't they in the same year? Because Spencer was tutoring him in French.
Yeah, but she was in advanced French, I think. So I think he's meant to be like a year or so older.
No, maybe. I got the vibe they were the same age.
Also, he's living by himself and like social services hasn't picked him up yet. So maybe he is 18.
That's exactly what I mean. I think he turned 18 and moved out.
Spencer's like, don't sign this deal. It doesn't seem right to me. Let's think about it. But I don't understand why Toby wouldn't sign this deal. He's got everything he came here for. Like, he understands now that his mum didn't commit suicide. He's got himself a nice little nest egg.
And as Peter mentioned, last week he was happy to take just an apology.
Yeah. So, like, I don't understand. Yeah, even if Peter's, like, doing something weird, what's it matter? Just take the money. Just call it a day. Why do you have to keep... Like, why would you want to get Radley shut down? Like, why would you want to waste your time with that? I don't think there's any reason that Toby shouldn't just take this deal and move on with his life.
Because Spencer says so.
Because Jessica De Laurentiis is on the board.
When Spencer gets home, she is rifling through her dad's stuff, as she always does.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds some papers which say that Jessica De Laurentiis is on the Radley board. And she is freaking out. So she thinks this has something to do with why Peter doesn't want her to doesn't want Toby to go through with this anymore. How is this a revelation? Because yes, it's a revelation to us as a viewer, but didn't any of them come across this when they were doing their digging into Radley? Like, it's not a secret. It's not a secret who's on the board. All they had to do was click on the Radley website.
It's a secret.
It's not a secret.
Shh. Got a secret. Can you keep it? That's what the song is about.
No, I can't because it's not a secret. It would be like on the website. So she's like, quickly calls Toby and she's like, oh my God, please do not sign the documents. I got to figure some stuff out. Like, Jessica D's on the board. This ain't right. But yeah, like, she should have already known it. If she wasn't a dumbass 16-year-old and she was a lawyer, she would have already known this. But then I think we end the episode, or at least Spencer's timeline, with Toby saying that he's already signed the agreement. It's the best for his family. So, last one, Emily. Last and least. Jokes. Well, we love our Emily. Last and most is Emily. We start off Emily with, like, she's running an errand for her mum. She's apparently been told to bring a pie to a church for the bake sale, but it's like the weirdest church bake sale I've ever seen because it's completely unmanned. People are just dumping pies at the altar and there's no one else within a mile radius of the church. Is there not someone at least organizing this thing, even if it hasn't started yet? Like, where is everyone?
You don't need someone because there was a post-it note on it saying Pam Fields.
everyone is literally just dumping pies at this altar and running away. Like, what kind of a sacrifice is this? She sees some, like, black shoes sneaking into the church from behind her. Like, and does she not hear it? Does she not turn around and look? Like, I feel like these girls don't look around enough. I feel like I would figure out who A is in episode one, season one, because as soon as I hear a noise, I'm going to look over there.
Like, yeah. But this person was able to open that church door, creep into the back pew in their Converse, right? Yeah. And her not notice anything. She feels something, pauses for a second, and then it's like, yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah, how I know. Just turn around yet? And look, mate.
These girls either have absolutely zero instincts or they just literally ignore them. They're like, oh, I feel uncomfortable and unsafe. Let me just keep staring at this pie.
Yes, I feel exactly. uncomfortable and unsafe walking from my house to my car at night.
You park in your front door.
Exactly. I'm constantly looking over my shoulder when I'm going out to my car at night.
Mate, do you think there's just like a ninja hiding out next to your car waiting for you?
Could be.
Anyway, so I think the black shoe sneaking in was Shana.
Before I knew it was Shana, I have here in my notes that it looks like Ezra. It could be Ezra Ankle.
Maybe it could be. So I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Shana. But the next thing we know is Shana's sneaking around somewhere in this freaking church and she pops up. Like, first of all, if that was you, why didn't you just walk towards her? Where did you go for 5 minutes?
She was just waiting, pacing the pews in the church corridor.
Yeah.
She was casing the place out just in case there was one of the other lights hanging about.
She wanted to suss out which pie to buy when the bake sale opened.
She was waiting for Emily to leave so she could steal the pie.
She was casing the pies. Shana dropped some bombs on us this episode. So apparently, Shana has known Ali since she was 3 years old because she was her Grammy's next door neighbor back in Georgia.
I know. Okay, so I have such an issue with this. What is with everyone being able to just drop their entire lives and like start somewhere else and just fuck off for however long because they know someone? Like, Caleb's in Ravenswood right now, and never mind his school or family or education or anything.
I know. And this girl is still in school with parents who presumably care about her. How do you explain this to your parents? Like, oh, I have to go to Rosewood now to solve a murder.
No. Also, she has a promising swimming career as well.
Yeah.
Just because some girl that used to live next door to you and come every other summer for a couple of weeks said help.
And also, like, why would you ask Shana to come check stuff out? Like, is Shana a detective? Does Shana even know anyone? Like, why would you go get Shana? It makes no sense.
Yeah, because Shana's probably the only person she hasn't done shit to.
Yeah, that's true, because she only sees her every so often.
I know.
Yeah.
That is such a good point.
But I would like to see how a, like, 15-year-old convinces her parents that she needs to move states.
Yeah.
But Shana's there to deliver a message to Emily, which is, Allison wants to see you, tell no one. I'll pick you up and then bring you to a deserted warehouse so you can see her.
You must come alone.
Yeah. So what does she do? She goes and she tells Spencer.
Yeah.
But, like, I get why she told Spencer, because they've made this whole song and dance about, like, telling each other stuff and telling each other everything that's going on. And she was just mad at Hannah for keeping information about Allison. So she goes and tells Spencer, like, to do the right thing. And Spencer just, like, bulldozes her and tells her she's dumb for believing it.
Because Spencer's jealous. Like, Spencer's in the mindset of, why would Allison reach out to you?
No, I don't think she was jealous. I think she was cautious, and rightfully so. Because she's like, why doesn't she trust us then? Like, what have we ever done to her? Because she didn't think that Shana was genuine. She thinks Shana's on the A-team, and she's just, like, trying to lure Emily away to be murdered, basically.
Yeah.
Emily is like, okay, so if you're talking to Ali, she says to Shana, if you're talking to Ali, prove it. Before she left, she said something to me. And only the two of us would know it. So if you're talking to her, tell her to go to tell you what it is, because then, like, that will prove it. And then the secret was, oh, she kissed you before she left.
It's part of the secret, but not the whole thing, not the thing that convinced her. Uh-huh. So it wasn't before she left. It was when she pulled Emily out of the barn when she was going to suffocate, when she was trying to find the therapist.
Yeah.
And she had told Emily to either run... to decide quickly, either come with me or stay behind.
Yeah.
And Emily thought she dreamt that. That's what the secret was, the secret conversation.
But, like, so how did she know she didn't dream it, though?
Because then she realized Ali was back and it must have been true.
That doesn't make it true.
It does now.
Like, you guys exist, but just because you exist doesn't mean I didn't see you in a dream once.
I don't like your logic.
I don't like your logic either.
Why?
Because I don't exist just because you saw me in the dream.
So anyway, she gets satisfied that that's Allie and she goes up to meet her in the warehouse. But like, oh my God, the way that Shana just dumps her at an abandoned warehouse and takes off. And Emily's like, yeah, okay, this is normal. And she still walks in.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you at least wait out the front for me? How am I going to get back? So when she's in there talking to Allie, basically freaking horseshoe Spencer is like flopping around.
I was wondering where you were going with the horseshoe thing.
She's clomping around in the warehouse like she's never clomped before.
Yeah, I know. And she wore her clompiest shoes for this.
She wore her clompiest shoes. And Allie freaks out and she takes off. And so, like, she didn't actually get to talk to Emily that much. So it really was Allie. So what's Emily going to do now? Then she got the shits with Spencer and she left her there and took off. How is she going to get back? Does she need a ride from Shana?
She's just going to hoof it.
What?
At least say
why you guys like this?
My other thing is, like, Spencer showed up because she's genuinely worried that Emily's about to, like, get murdered, right?
Yeah.
And do you not think, like, oh, my friend's probably going to get killed. Should I call the police? What are you going to do there? You didn't even bring a weapon, nothing.
I know. But also, how did Spencer even know where they were meeting? If, like, Shana, like, if Emily didn't even know? Because I'm assuming that's why Shana dropped her off.
Yeah, I think she followed them. That's why she had to leave Toby a voicemail and rush off before going to his house.
I see. That would make sense. Yeah, but also, like, we also find out that Spencer was there from the beginning of the conversation and she heard everything Allie said. So Allie said something about, you know, you're the only one I can trust. I can't trust the other girls, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so why didn't she stay still? Why did she start clomping after?
Why did she start clomping? She should have just stayed hidden and listened.
Because she was being indignant. She's like, ugh, that bitch doesn't trust us.
And then, like, the elevator that Allie was in goes down and comes back up and disappears. And so they just give up. Wouldn't you go in that elevator and see if you can find her?
I know.
Like, there's got to be only, like, two floors on this thing. These are the same girls that lost the bloody limping Cece as well.
Yeah.
You see?
And they're also the girls who lost a red coat in literally a bale of hay in the back of a car. My issue is also, why did Emily run up to this elevator and start banging on the door, Allie, please, instead of pressing the down button?
I know.
Literally every time I go to an elevator, I watch the doors close, and then no matter how long I've waited, it's never long enough. The doors open back up. And I'm like, oh, hello.
So awkward.
Now I have to come in.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so awkward. But, yeah.
I just realized what you were saying. I thought when you were explaining it, you were the one in the elevator. But no, you were the one trying to catch the elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens to me too. You wait until the elevator goes, so you're not, like, stopping the person. But then you press the button and the elevator opens up with them still in it.
Yeah, and you know why? Because half of the time, those fucking morons in the elevator haven't pressed a level button and I'm just there like a dickhead.
Yeah, actually, let's put a pin in this for a minute because I have a worse sister story involving an elevator. So we'll get around to it in a second. And that's basically the episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing that we haven't talked about is, I think the A scene at the end of this episode is A, burning a photo of Shana from when Allie and Shana were little.
Yeah, at the school, in their locker.
Yeah, but also, like, why do people carry around evidence with them? Like, I'm going to go and solve the murder of my best friend. Nobody knows I'm her best friend, but I'm going to keep a photo of us together in my locker.
I know.
Why?
In one of my books. Because.
Why?
So A can have something to do.
A is bored.
They keep hiding everything. A has nothing to do.
Exactly. How else will A be dramatic and theatrical? My favourite, like, random A scene that makes no sense is when A decided to, like, choke a doll.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, okay.
A is dramatic. A is just putting on shows.
Literally. All right. So, Suna, you said you have a worse sister story for us.
I do, yeah. So, the elevator chat we were just having reminded me. So my worst sister story is, again, recently when I caught up with Arzum, we went and did an escape room.
Yeah.
And literally this exact thing we were talking about happened to us so many times. So
it was embarrassing.
This was like either the group of people in the elevator were like super lost or it was the slowest elevator in the world. But we accidentally, like, we kept trying to leave. So this isn't even part of the escape room. So we got out of the escape room, but then we couldn't get out of the escape room building.
Literally.
Because like, we're trying to leave. You have to leave by elevator. And every time we press the elevator door, there's, like, a group of people in there. And they're packed in, like, sardines. So the first time they came up, we were still standing there. We're like, oh, yeah, we'll just take some more photos. It's fine. Like, we'll get the next one. We wait, like, 2 minutes. We press the button again. And they pop up again.
I know.
And then we're like, oh, never mind. But also, while this was happening, because, like, we were like, oh, yeah, we'll wait a couple minutes. I was busy, like, taking photos and stuff. And I'm literally just standing there looking behind me twerking.
Her own reflection twerking, yeah.
Yeah, my own reflection just twerking. Just being an idiot. And I turned around and, like, I noticed that the elevator door was open and everybody was still in there. And I, like, locked eyes with the guy that was in the lift.
No, you can't get on the elevator at all until I make it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they were taking forever. Like, I think they were just riding it up and down because they were lost.
They must have been because it took so long. And then eventually we waited like another like 5-6 minutes. Like,
just to the extra step because someone wanted to die in a hole.
Yeah. and we ended up eventually leaving.
We finally escaped the escape room.
We finally escaped the escape room.
Not even the escape room, the escape room building. The one that you're actually supposed to enter and leave freely.
Yeah, I know. And we were literally like, if we press the button and they appear again, like, we're just going to have to cram on with them. Like,
I know. Because they actually live there now. That's their home.
There's no way we could awkwardly wave bye to them again.
How many times did you have to call them back?
Like, it was at least 3 times that we saw them.
Yeah, so we're like, man, if this isn't the last, like, we just have to get on. Like, that's our only hope.
Alrighty. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. We'll be back next week with an episode of Wisteria Lane, which is where we cover Desperate Housewives. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on our socials, which are the usual. So we're at Sister Worst on Twitter/X, or we're at Worcestershire on Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, and TikTok. Or you can email us at worcestershire@gmail.com. Should we do a hada bum?
Yep.
Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, had a bomb.
Dun.